I've made various comments some time ago, but as we've seen things develop over the last few months, I think it's now fair and reasonable for the government to make a modest, prudent and proportionate commitment.
That's Prime Minister Tony Abbott. He's defending yet another change of heart we discussed in the previous hour. This time, it's about contributing to the Green Climate Fund, an international fund to combat climate change, particularly in developing countries. The Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, announced a $200 million donation at the UN Climate Change Conference in Lima. We discussed in the previous hour of the program, though. It's coming out of the foreign aid budget. Is it going to make a difference? Anote Tong is president of the island nation of Kiribati, which is one of the most climate-vulnerable nations in the world, so he's very well placed to tell us how much this matters. President Tong, thank you very much for joining us. Is this good news?
Well, I think it's good news in the sense that there is an acknowledgement of the challenge of climate change, but I think it does pose the question as to what the implications would be on the current aid program for the developing countries, in particular the Pacific Island developing countries.
So are you concerned that this will somehow not be a net benefit, or is climate change really ultimately your greatest concern?
Climate change is perhaps our ultimate challenge, and we do need to address it, but at the same time, we cannot put aside challenges of development that we have to face on a daily basis, on an annual basis. So the news coming out is a little bit confusing. There needs to be some great understanding as to what has been the logic in putting this forward.
So
I think we welcome the fact that there is a contribution to the Climate Green Fund.
Sure, I understand that, but the broader point you're making is an important one. What sort of reliance do you have on Australian foreign aid? What sort of challenges is Australian foreign aid helping you overcome?
Well, Australia is one of our biggest state donors. They contribute very significantly at the moment to our social sector in terms of education. So the question we would be asking is, what would be the direct impact of that contribution to the Green Climate Fund on our other programs?
Have you spoken to Julie Bishop, the Foreign Minister?
Not recently, certainly not since the announcement of the contribution. I have the press release in front of me. I think it is quite an interesting surprise. I think it's a pleasant surprise, and perhaps a decision that was made under the prevailing conditions at the time in Peru. And so we welcome that response. I think that is good news. And the Australian government is no doubt reviewing its position in terms of its aid budget in following that commitment to the Green Climate Fund.
Well, I know that this money isn't specifically for you, but can you give us a sense of what you do with it? If you have $200 million at your disposal, what do you actually do?
Well, we are spending millions of dollars just building seawalls so that the seawater is not coming in, intruding into the freshwater pond and destroying the food crops. So we're getting all of this coming at the same time. And quite frankly, we're avoiding the answer because we really don't have the answer to these questions because we don't have the resources to respond.
And is that why you've been in conversation with New Zealand, for example, about the resettlement of people from Kiribati? Is that ultimately what you have no choice but to do?
We are looking at all options. We hope that we will get the response. But in the event that it doesn't, we must not allow ourselves to be caught unawares. We must be ready because we are dealing with the future and the lives of people in the future. So we can't afford to miss this. We can't afford to miscalculate. So we're covering all of our bets, and that is why we're buying land in Fiji, we're doing all kinds of things.
So the stakes are clearly very high for you, and it's no secret that you were really crushed by the failure in 2009 in Copenhagen for the conference really to achieve anything on climate change. Do you feel more optimistic about Lima and then Paris?
Oh, most certainly. I think Copenhagen was really the testing point when people were, for the first time, challenged to address climate change. And I think the reality at the time was that the developed countries were so focused on economic growth and were not willing to accept the reality of climate change. I think there's no doubt that since Copenhagen, very significant progress has been made. Recently, I was in Sydney recently for the World Parks Congress. And on the way back, we had the opportunity to meet with President Hollande and of France. And of course, they've made the commitment and they are committed to having a positive outcome in Paris in 2015. Also, there was a meeting with the Indian Prime Minister in Fiji. And so they are responding in their own way at the moment. We cannot expect too much in one go. But I think perhaps the most significant development has been the commitment by the United States and China, because they really are the leaders, and that's always been my challenge, that we do need global leadership, very strong, decisive global leadership. And for the first time, we're seeing this. And so I am a lot more optimistic than I've been in the past.
Well, it's good to hear your optimism. And, I mean, we've already discussed about how high the stakes are for Kiribati, for your nation. What does it feel like there? What's the conversation that people are having about the possibility of their entire nation being swamped?
Well, we talk around it. We really don't want to face it up front because it's not a very pleasant option. Normally, people tend to live on a day-to-day basis. We don't usually think in terms of 10, 20 years. And so we talk about it, but I think eventually we come around in the realization that there is very little we can do without resourcing from the international community. But at the same time, we must be able to carry out.
Yeah, you've got to do whatever it is that allows you to get through and get on with life. There's no doubt about that. I note that you and your wife recently travelled to the Arctic with Greenpeace. And I gather you probably learnt quite a bit about the effects of climate change on that trip. What was that experience like?
Well, I can tell you for a fact that it's an entirely different world from our part of the world. And but I think the reality we saw of what was there and what it would mean if all of that ice were to melt. It's a very immense system. Mm. Being able to see that very direct connection of events happening in the top end of the world and actually having a very direct impact in our part of the world. And I think this is the reality of what climate change is. It's a global phenomenon, so huge that if once the process begins as it has, then it would be impossible to reverse it. It's going to be very difficult to slow it down. And we cannot ignore it.
Mm. It's the unique nature of a slow-motion catastrophe, and it's very powerful, the description you've given. Just before I let you go, though, on a lighter note, how did your wife cope with the cold?
Well, she wasn't able to join us on the trip ashore to the glaciers because the cold really affected her. I think we all got homesick with her. But at the same time, it was a wonderful experience to see the other side of God's creation. It's really quite amazing that God was able to create this with such intricate care, yet we as humans can destroy it in the blink of an eye. I think it says a lot for what we can do in terms of destruction and what our responsibility is in terms of preserving it.
I think that's a very powerful reflection on which to end. Note Tong, thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome indeed, and thank you.
President of Kiribati, that island nation that is one of the most, perhaps the most, climate vulnerable nation in the world. We'll leave Ali with you for Drive, 0418 226 576 or Twitter at RNDrive.